Today we'll be discussing, basically we'll be comparing or contrasting the question of the Russia and the question of the Chacham. It's very interesting. Look at in front of you, in the sheet in front of you, the left side of the page are the psukim in the Torah, and the right side of the page is what the Haggadah says. The left side of the page are the psukim in the Torah, and the right side of the page is what the Haggadah says. So look at the Rasha's question. The Rasha's question is, Ma ha'avoda hazos lachem? What's all this work you're doing? And what's our response to the Rasha? A nice response or we yell at him? What's our response to the Rasha? We get angry at him. Why do we get angry at him? Why do we get angry at the Rasha? Because he said, lachem, he excluded himself. Since the Rasha excluded himself, so we don't give him a nice, pleasant answer, we give him a musr. Okay, that's well known. But look at the Chacham's question. What's the Chacham's question? Ma'edos ve'achukim ve'amishvatim asher tziva Hashem Elokeinu eschem. The Chacham says, what are these mitzvos that Hashem commanded you? So the Chacham what? Also is excluding himself. And yet the Chacham gets a nice, pleasant answer. So this is the world-famous question. The Rasha excludes himself, and we give him Musar at the Seder. And we yell at him. And the Rasha and the Chacham also seems to exclude himself. He says, Eschem. And we give the Chacham a nice, pleasant answer. Hey, you want to share that? This is the famous question. So I'm just going to present some of the standard answers. I took these answers from this sefer. This is a set. HaSeder HaAruch. In my opinion, it's the best book on the Seder. HaSeder HaAruch is 3 volumes. I'm not sure what his name is. It's recent, like 10, 15 years ago. And here's the point. Every famous question on the Seder, he gathers whatever's out there. And it's a chapter. So every famous question on the Seder is another parak. For example, this question. What is the difference between Chacham and the Rasha? He has a chapter called, what is the difference between Chacham and the Rasha? And he gives you all the answers. Moshe's name is not mentioned in the Haggadah. You ever notice that? It's mentioned tangentially once. By Minu Hashem of Moshe Abdo. Very strange. Moshe was the main player. How come Moshe's name is not mentioned? Very strange. He has a chapter called, why is Moshe not in the Haggadah? And he has all the answers that are listed. You got it? It's an amazing work. I call it my second Seder Sefer. Any question which is raised at the first Seder, and I don't know the answer to, so I look it up here and he has everything. It's an amazing Seder. It's a set. I'm sorry? This one. HaSeder HaAruch. It's a set. If you have, let's say, a learned father or a learned cousin who'd want to get like a nice set to have in the house, if he doesn't have it yet. So I'm just quoting what he says. Okay? Here we go. Number one, there's one obvious difference. This the Gra and others point out. That the Chacham says, Hashem Elokeinu. The Chacham includes himself. Hashem, our God. So, clearly, the Chacham is not trying to exclude himself. No. The Chacham, the Gra. Hashem Elokeinu. First he says Hashem's name. And we know from the Chumash and Rashi, you know, that Yaakov would always mention Hashem's name. The Chacham talks about Hashem. And second of all, he says Elokeinu, our God. So the Chacham is not trying to exclude himself. He says Hashem Elokeinu, our God. Then why does the Chacham say Eschem? So we give him the benefit of the doubt, and we say the Chacham is just trying to be precise. The Torah is discussing, you're in the future. You're going to have children, and your children will ask you, what are all of these mitzvot that Hashem, our God, commanded you? You, Abba, you were there. I wasn't at Har Sinai. You were at Har Sinai. So the Chacham, by saying Hashem Elokeinu, shows he is including himself. And therefore, when he says Eschem, we assume he's just being precise. And he's saying, I wasn't there. Daddy, what are all these mitzvot that Hashem, our God, commanded you at Har Sinai? Please tell them to me. So that's the simple approach that Hashem Elokeinu gives it away. Okay, that's one nice approach. Next is the Malbin. The Malbin focuses on the questions in the Chumash. Look in the Chumash. I underlined it for you. Look by the Chacham and the Tam in the Chumash versus the Rasha. By the Chacham and the Tam, look what it says. Ki yish'olcha bin choleimor. Your son asks you. Look at the Rasha. What does it say by the Rasha? Yomru. It doesn't say yish'olcha. The Malbim says, beautiful idea, the Chacham and the Tam are clearly asking a question. They want an answer. They deserve an answer. What's the Rasha doing? He's confronting you. What's all this work you're doing? He is making an attacking statement in the form of a rhetorical question. And the Torah teaches us that by saying which word? Yomru. It doesn't say the Rasha will ask you. It says the Rasha will say to you, what's all this work you're doing, Abba? What's all this work you're doing? That's not a question. So since the Torah shows you, the Chacham is asking in the right way. The Rasha is attacking, he's confronting, so the Chacham who asks gets an answer, and the Rasha who attacks, we give him Musar. You hear? That's a nice answer. That's the Malbim. Yish'olcha versus Yomru. And the Meshech Chachma adds on to this. There's a Sifri. Sifri is the Medrash on Chumash Devarim. The Sifri says in Perek Vav, in Devarim, Pasuk Kaf, that the word lemur has different meanings. One of the meanings of the word lemur is hashiveni tshuva. I want to receive an answer, a response. So that's what the word lemur means. It's good to know. The word lemur means a response. Look in the Chumash. By the Chacham in the time it says ki yish olcha bincha machar lemur. And by the Rasha, there's no lemur. It fits perfectly. By the Chacham in the Tam, the Torah says the word yish'olcha. By the Chacham in the Tam, the Torah also says the word lemur. That fits very nicely. But by the Rasha, it says yomru, and there's no lemur. This is answer number two. This is the answer number two, that the Chacham in the Tam are asking a question, they get an answer. The Rasha is attacking, confronting. He doesn't get, nor does he deserve. Answer number three. This is the combination of the Kli Yakar with another Mefarshim. This Kli Yakar, I first saw in Rav Mirsky. Rav Mirsky Shlita has great Sfarim. They're called Hegyone Halacha. Hegyone Halacha and Hegyone Halacha. Hegyone Halacha, he picks topics. He has halachic discussions, hashkafa. He's very clear. He's very organized. He gives you all the sources. He's a wonderful writer. He then took his things about the Seder and wrote a Sefer Hegyone Haggadah. It's an excellent Haggadah. Hegyone Haggadah. Listen to this Kli Yakar. There's another difference in the Chumash. Look in the Chumash. There's another word that it says by the Chacham and the Tam, but not by the Rasha. What word is that? He says Yish'olcha Lemor. Which word? Machar. By the Chacham in the Tam, it says Machar. And by the Rasha, it doesn't. What's the difference? Machar. What's the idea? So the Kli Yakar says, it's a beautiful word of the Kli Yakar. The Chacham in the Tam ask tomorrow, what do they do today? They do it. Nase v'nishma. The Kli Yakar says that the word machar is a remez to Nasev and Nishma.
The Torah is teaching, is hinting to us, the Torah is hinting to us, they ask tomorrow. Today, they did it. Again, that's not the literal pshat. The literal pshat is, in the future, your children will ask you the following questions. But you can say, al derech hadrush, tomorrow, they asked. Today, they did it. That's very nice. That's Nasev and Ishma. This is the Kliyaka. And the Chacham in the time, they asked the right way. The right way to ask what is Nasev and Ishma. And the Rosh Chai says, what are all those working? I'm not going to do it until I get an answer. Therefore, he gets Musar. And then I saw in the Sefer, Seder Haruch, he quotes from one of the Haggadahs. The name of the Haggadah he quotes is She'eris Menachem. I don't know who this is, but if you want to write it down, this is the name he quotes. Look at this word. This is very subtle. This is beautiful. In the Haggadah, towards the end of Magid, we ask, why do we matzah at the Seder? What's the language of the Haggadah? Without looking at the board. What's the language of the Haggadah? Matzah zu she'anu ochlim al shum ma. If you were writing the Haggadah in Hebrew, you're writing in Hebrew, and you wanted to write in Hebrew, why do we eat matzah at the Seder? What would you have said in Hebrew? Lama nochlim matzah. Why do we eat matzah tonight? It's very interesting. This is what the Haggadah says. Matzah zu she'anu ochlim al shum ma. Doesn't say the normal thing. Why do we eat matzah at the Seder? Fast. Why? Listen to what he says. This is very subtle. If you ask the question the normal way in Hebrew, so it's unclear. Why do we eat matzah tonight? So that could be, I'm going to eat the matzah, but tell me why. Or it could be, why do we eat matzah? I'm not eating matzah unless you tell me why. In other words, the normal Hebrew way could either be nasev v'nishma or not nasev v'nishma. The way we ask it, translated into English, the way our Haggadah is written, what do the words say? This matzah that we're eating, comma, why? The way we ask the question is very subtly fulfilling Nasev and Nishma. That's a beautiful vort. The way the Haggadah asks the question, why do we eat matzah at the Seder? It's written in a way that Nasev and Nishma is built in. This matzah which we're eating, statements, comma, al shumma, please tell me why. The eating of the matzah is not part of the question. The eating of the matzah is not part of the question. The question is only about why. In the normal way to ask the question, the eating of the matzah is in the question. So it might be you're not going to do the mitzvah unless you get an answer. It's very subtle. So that vort fits with that vort fits very nicely, in my opinion. Wait, hold on. That vort fits very nicely, in my opinion, with the kliya. So this is Nasev and Ishma. Nasev and Ishma is a major part of the Seder, and this is a beautiful vort. Now, another vort on Nasev and Ishma. Rav Moshe Feinstein has it in his Perush. This is nice. Look again at the Psukim. Where is the Chacham's question in the Torah? It's in Devarim. And where is the Tom's question in the Torah? It's in Shmos. Very interesting, Rav Moshe. Chacham is mentioned at the end of the Chumash, and the Tom is earlier. Why? Hashem could have worked it out. The Chacham is the Chacham, learns, he knows. Tom Chacham, he's more important. In the Haggadah, he comes first. How come Hashem wrote the Torah in a way that the Chacham comes after the Tom? So Rav Moshe writes a beautiful idea, a simple idea, pardon the pun, which is, the Torah is teaching you the correct order. The goal is to be a Chacham, but first be a Tam. Be a Tam. I have simple emuna. I don't understand everything. I do what Hashem says. Then I delve and I work hard. I try to figure out the reasons and can become a Chacham and deeper and deeper. The Torah is teaching us, Rav Moshe writes, the right order. First be a Tam, and then be a Chacham. And that's why in the Chumash, although the Chacham is more important, yeah, but the Tam is mentioned first. This is a major Yesod in life. Give me a few minutes. This is a major Yesod in life. That, of course, Judaism is a rational religion. People ask questions.
We give answers. We try to give answers to things. If you don't know the answer, ask an older person. Then he can ask another Rebbe, on and on, etc. But you want the questions to be built on Emunah Pshuta. The goal is, you know, it's normal for children to have questions. 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, 15-year-olds, that's normal. Your goal as a parent is when your kids ask these questions, their questions are being built on Emunah Pshuta. And it's your job as a parent to try to inculcate this Emunah Pshuta into your children. And it's not so hard to do. You have to make it a focus. You talk. How do you inculcate the Emunah Pshuta into your kids? You talk about Hashem. Chumash, Parsha, miracles, Hashem. And I tell people, I received an email a couple months ago, very powerful email, a Talmud from like 9 years ago. I started crying, whatever, but I cry a lot of things. I started crying. I had to tell my mother started crying. My mother doesn't cry at these things. My father cries all the time. In my wedding album, every picture, my father has tears in his eyes. Like, they couldn't find pictures without tears. And my father, that's what he's like. And a very healthy, emotional person like that. So I started crying. So I got it from a Talmud. And he's 26 now, and he has a baby. And you know, I sent out that tape on Rav Soloveitchik when he spoke about himself in the Masorah. Yeah. And he said, now I have my own baby, and I'm up with him at nights, and the bottle, and I can't wait for my chance to teach him the Masorah from the, you know, it was very beautiful. My mother made sure it made the rounds, that email. Anyway. What are we talking about? This? Oh, yes. So he mentioned there, I mentioned this class, and he took it seriously. I said, you can bring Hashem also like when you read the Reiko children's books to your kids. Like the Magic School Bus is all about science. So it's a little hooked on evolution, but except for that, so just talk about Hashem. Wow, the salmon swims upstream for 3,000 miles in order to lay its eggs because the warm water. Wow, you know, how do they do that? Oh, Hashem gives them that wisdom to go do that. You know, it's not hard to bring Hashem into your kids' lives all the time. All the time. You read children's books and talk about different midos. So, oh, Hashem wants you to have good midos. And I really hold that when kids are little, you, the parent, should be talking about Hashem. A, because you believe in it, hopefully. That's Hashem. You should believe in it. That's Hashem. And you're training your kids when they're little. So then when your kids get older, and they ask you questions, and they ask a question sometimes. One of my kids once, he was learning about Adam in school. I think he was 9 or 10. Adam and a chait and the first chait, ta-ta-ta. Abba. Have you ever done a nechatayim, Abba? Whew. Wow. You know, when that in yeshiva, how do I answer that? I'm driving along. Whoa, what are you supposed to answer? Anyway, so I'm not sure what I said exactly, but wow. Anyway, you want kids to ask questions. It's good for kids to ask questions. But the question should be built on Emunah Pshuta. What's the best indication that Yahadus is not against questions? The Seder. The Seder, my Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita always points this out. The Seder is the night of the Masorah. You're passing along a Munah to your kids. And at the Seder, we basically stand on our heads to encourage the kids to do what? To ask questions. So apparently, we're not so much against questions. But the goal is that it's Nase V'Nishma. It's Nase V'Nishma. And then, I mean, another 3 minutes. Well, this is the big Yisod. This is the Kliyachar with Machar. This is the Vort on how we ask, why we match at the Seder. This is Nas the Tam, then the Chacham. This is Nas the Nishma. A couple more points. We discussed this already earlier in the year. The word Ta'am means reason. The word Ta'am means flavor. How come the same word has those two meanings? Ta'am means reason, and Ta'am means flavor. So I told you once, I think, I heard this from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik Zatzal, a beautiful vort. The reason, you know, the reasons for the mitzvos add flavor to the mitzvah. They make the mitzvah more exciting. The mitzvah talks to you more. But they're not the essence of the mitzvah. They're only the flavor. And the mashal is vitamins. Mitzvos are like vitamins. Doctor says, you look a little run down. You're short on iron, take iron pills. So we trust the doctor. Doctor has all those things on the wall, all those years and years and years of schooling, his experience. Doc says take vitamins, you take the vitamins. Do they taste good? Not necessarily. Doc says take the vitamins, you take the vitamins. Mitzvos are like vitamins. If Hashem says do a mitzvah, it's good for me in Olam Hazeh, it's good for me in Olam Haba, it's very good. If I trust a doctor, then Alach has kama v'kama, I'm going to trust, of course, Hashem. Mitzvos are like vitamins. What if I don't know the reason for the mitzvah? So what? Do the mitzvah. Do I understand how this pill exactly makes me feel better? No. So mitzvos are like vitamins. But then, you understand the reason for the mitzvah. And you figure it out, and you learn the reason, and you learn the Sefer HaChinuch, and you learn the Ramban and Moron Avuchim, and you learn Rav Hirsch, and you discuss other Achronim, and when you know why you're doing things, the reason talks to you, the mitzvah talks to you more, you're more excited about the mitzvah, you get more into the mitzvah, and you do the mitzvah with more geschmack, with more excitement. Mitzvahs are like vitamins. Mitzvahs with reasons are like Flintstones vitamins. They taste good. They taste good. You enjoy them. You want to have more and more. That's my application of his mashal. I think that mashal is not good. I think that mashal is perfect. Mitzvos are like vitamins. Mitzvos with reasons are Flintstones vitamins. I love them. I want to do more and more. That's why ta'am means reason and ta'am means flavor. The reason adds flavor to the mitzvah. One more comment about Nasa v'Nishma, and one more comment. There is a Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, in Perek Gimel, and the Mefarshim raise a kasha on the Mishnah. And you have to know Rabbeinu Yonah on the Mishnah. My Rebbe Rav Shechter Shlita always quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah. You have to know this Rabbeinu Yonah. I mean, you can't move without this Rabbeinu Yonah. And Rav Nevin Sal Shlita also quotes this Rabbeinu Yonah a lot in his writings. The Mishnah says, if your ma'asim are more than your chachma, then your chachma is going to last. If your ma'asim are more than your ma'asim are going to last. It's a very strange Mishnah. How is the Mishnah strange? How is it possible that you have more ma'asim than chachma? How can you do something if you don't know it? That's a famous question. How can you have, just technically, how can you have more ma'asim than chokhmah? I have more actions than wisdom. If I don't know it, how can I do it? The Mefarshim asked that question. Rabbeinu Yonah says an amazing concept, that if a Jew accepts upon himself to do whatever he learns, he gets credit now, mamish, as if he did it, and then when he actually does the mitzvah, he gets schar again for doing it. Rabbeinu Yonah writes, and he says, and what's this called? He says, this is called Nasa v'Nishma. Rabbeinu Yonah quotes Nasa v'Nishma. If a Jew says, I will do whatever I learned, I'm not so knowledgeable right now, whatever I learn in the future I'm going to keep, he gets schar now as if he did it. In other words, that's what the Mishnah means. It's possible that you have more positive actions than you even know about. As long as you say to yourself, from now on, I will do whatever I learn. If I learn a halacha, I'm going to do it. You get schar now as if you did it already. And that's the Chabad Mishnah. You can have more actions than Chochmah. And he says, that's Nasa v'Nishma. It's a very beautiful idea. And Rav Shechter tells the following story. He says, this is Yerushamayim. Yerushamayim means that I accept upon myself, I will do whatever I learn. That's Yerushamayim. He tells the story. Rav Shechter, in the old days, I'm not sure, and maybe now he comes to Israel, he used to go to Tannersville. Rav Shechter used to go to, sometimes, I don't know, maybe he still does, Tannersville. And it's like a small little town up in upstate, on the, off the New York State Thruway. And Rav Shechter lives in Washington Heights, and a lot of the German Jews from Washington Heights go there, and a lot of Lubavitchers go there. There's a shul that's been there for 100 years. So when you go into that shul, it's half the Lubavitchers and half the Yekkies from Washington Heights. And the joke they say in Tannersville is that in Tannersville, the Mashiach's going to come right on time. And if you get that joke,
That exactly captures Tanis. That's Tanis. Now, Rav Schechter during the year is busy, and he's giving shiur all the time. He doesn't have so much time for himself just to learn regular by himself. In the summer he learns, but even when he's learning in the summer by himself, you can sit there alone with him. He sits at a picnic table and he reviews shas very quickly, and you can come along and sit there and listen. Now he says it out loud. You can listen as he says it out loud. So I have a wonderful wife. Twice she sent me to Tannersville. I spent a couple of days next to Rav Schechter. It was unbelievable. I sat there the whole day, listening to him learn. And I had my gemara, whatever. It was a whole to do. It was very exciting. Oh, with a friend of mine. So he said once he was learning a sugya in Menachos, and he mentioned as he was learning the sugya, that Hilchos Mezuzah, that if you own a home where you live part of the year, you have to have mezuzahs on that home the whole year. Let's say you live in New York City, and during the summer you go up to the mountains. You can't take your mezuzahs off your house in New York City and bring them with you up to the mountains, and then take them off and bring them back. Because since you live in your house the whole year, you have the mezuzahs there the whole year. You can't do. Okay. So he mentioned that in the shiur. And he's talking, and then they noticed that a guy sort of disappeared. There was a guy at the table, just disappeared. It was a long table. Just disappeared. The guy's gone. No one knows where he went. Next day, around 12 o'clock, it's like two and a half hour drive, he comes back. He said, "What happened to you?" He said, "Rabbi, you're giving that shiur, and that's what I do every year. Every year, I take my mezuzahs off my house in the city, and I bring them up to the bungalow over here. And when you mention that in the shiur, I ran to buy mezuzahs for myself. I didn't want to trust my friends. I wanted my good mezuzahs." So this guy is in a shiur. He hears a halach he never heard before. He literally leaves the shiur on the spot, goes and buys mezuzahs. Rav Schechter loves that. That's Yiras Shamayim. You hear a shiur, boom, you're gone. You keep the halacha, and then you come back the next day. That's a great story. A person like that person received a schar for a mezuzah before he learned that. Since his approach to life is, I'll keep whatever I learn. He got schar ready first. It's a great story. Boom, he's gone. He didn't know where he was. He literally disappeared. He left the shiur to get in a car and go to New York, buy mezuzahs and bring them back up, or put them up in his house. You got it? It's a great story. That's Yiras Shamayim. That's Nasa Benishma. That's this beautiful shot of the Kli Yakar with the additional comment of the Sheiris Menachem. The way we ask the question, at the Seder, these are three approaches to the difference between the Chacham and the Rasha at the Seder. Yeah.